I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, my thoughts about that outburst in Congress during the president's speech last week. It's my Can I Just Tell You commentary. But first, what does it take to turn around a failing school? Certainly great leadership is a big part of the answer. A new film airing tomorrow as part of the PBS documentary series POV focuses on the principals of two schools in Illinois. When we first meet her, Tressa Dunbar is just starting her second year at Chicago's Nash Elementary School.
The school had six principals over a five-year period. And we've been at the bottom of state school testing for a number of years. As a result of this, we find ourselves in a very scary place. If our scores don't continue to rise, we may be facing closure.
Veteran principal Carrie Purcell is running Harvard Park Elementary in Springfield.
6 years ago, when I came to Harvard Park, the building was in crisis on a number of levels.
You're new at this, but you can do it. Go.
Well,
good.
Teacher morale was extremely low. Behavior was out of control, and test scores were in the gutter.
Filmmaker Todd Lending followed principals Dunbar and Purcell for his documentary, The Principal Story, and he joins us now from member station WBEZ in Chicago. Welcome.
Thank you.
There with him in the studio is Tressa Dunbar. Hello to you also.
Hello. Thank you.
And Carrie Purcell joins us from member station WUIS in Springfield. Welcome to you also.
Thanks so much.
Now, Tressa Dunbar, you were only in your second year as a principal when, you know, this guy started following you around with a camera. What was that like? Was it unnerving? And why did you agree?
To be quite honest with you, I don't really think I knew exactly what lied ahead. But was it difficult on some days? Yes, it was. But we never tried to hide anything. And to be honest with you, we really forgot they were there after about probably the first month or so. It was a very smooth transition and one that all the neighborhood, the community, the entire staff participated in.
One thorny issue that you face, and I think this will probably be familiar, a dilemma familiar to a lot of principals, is an underperforming teacher who cannot get control of her classroom, who just seems to be suffering every day.
Miss Dubin has to go. But she's going because I've done all that I can do. The other administrators have done all they can do. And she hasn't done all she can do.
Failing as a teacher.
This is a hard job. When you're getting rid of someone, they're losing their livelihood. I don't want to be responsible for that unless I have to. But when I have to, it happens.
As you were working through that issue of how to deal with this situation, did the scrutiny make it more difficult?
In some ways it did, but in other ways it did not, because this situation had been ongoing for quite a long time. Fundamentally, that classroom was, to be quite honest with you, probably 5 or 10 times worse than what you see on film. So when we made up our mind that we were going to, number one, support her and try to help her and do everything we could to make sure that she was successful, we did that. But in the end, it was about what was going on in the classroom and what those children were lacking. As a principal, but as a leader, first and foremost, you have to make a decision that either it's going to be the children or it's going to be the adult. And the adults always have second chances. Children that young don't have those type of chances, and they certainly don't have that type of time.
This is actually a very emotional experience watching this. I'm not sure that necessarily it's coming across just because, you know, we're talking about, you know, teachers and hiring teachers and classrooms and stuff. But this is like real life stuff that kids are dealing with every day. And Carrie Purcell, one of the most emotional scenes in the film that you're involved in is where a student dies in an accident, which is something that, you know, does happen with young kids, and how you and the school community deal with it. And I'm going to just play a short clip.
His mom was on the news last night, and she started crying.
Yeah. She loved Trevante a lot, just like your mommies love you.
Miss Diane said that maybe we could make flowers out of tissue paper, and Mr. Keith's going to go to his service, and then he's going to put it on his grave.
That'd be so nice.
Can I ask, you know, what was that like for you? I'm sure over the course of your career as an educator, you've, I'm sure, seen kids deal with all kinds of things, but I don't know.
The whole experience, and I remember so vividly the phone call that I got at home on a Sunday, and it was alleged that one of our students, the name had not been released yet, had been killed tragically the night before in a bicycle accident where the ambulance that actually transported him to the hospital was the one that hit him. And, you know, you just go into this mode of almost survival. I had to pull myself together so that I could be strong for the family. And probably the most difficult moment came the following morning when I reported to work. And then we had a staff meeting where we came up with a plan about how we were going to wrap our arms around these kids who were going to be grieving at a level of which we had not experienced so far as a school family. And when all of that was happening, Mom showed up and went throughout the school looking for any piece of her son that she could find, his name tag that hung above his coat hook, his name plate on his desk, and the emotion and the silence was just deafening. And from that moment forward, probably for the next couple of weeks, it was all hands on deck to just wrap our arms around these kids, the family, and one another to support ourselves through a time that no book can ever teach you how to deal.
Speaking of wrapping your arms around people, one of the things that the film shows is you're very hands-on. There's lots of hugging and getting to high fives and just constantly, in fact, both of you constantly giving. It sort of shows this is not a desk job. And Todd, I wondered, is there something that was surprising to you about what it really takes to be an effective principal?
Oh, there were many things that were surprising to me, and that's what made this project so interesting. Both Carrie and Teresa call this work heart work, work of the heart. In fact, we wanted to name the film Heart Work, but we figured people would just think it's about cardiac surgery. So we weren't able to do that. But it is heart work. It involves incredible passion and connection to the kids and to the parents, to the teachers. If you're just a manager, it's not going to happen. You're not going to be a good leader. You know, the skills that they have to have was a real eye-opener, a real surprise, that they have to be accountants. They have to know how to deal with budgets. They have to know how to deal with bureaucracies, with central office, with superintendents above them, with the teachers below them. They have to know how to empower teachers. They have to know how to deal with the social and emotional needs of the kids. They have to keep up with No Child Left Behind. I mean, you could go on and on. They have to deal with pipes that are bursting in their schools because they're old and crumbling. It's quite a skill set that they have to have. And then beneath that, energizing all that, is the heart.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin, and we're talking about The Principal Story. It's a new documentary airing tomorrow night on PBS. It tells the story of two principals in Illinois. It follows them over the course of a school year. I wanted to ask the principals about this. So speaking of this whole question of what it takes to be an instructional leader, there's been this big debate in education. Particularly, I think it's been crystallized by No Child Left Behind, although it's been ongoing for some time now, about whether the critical factor is what happens in the classroom or is it, you know, the outside lives that the kids lead. Is it what goes on in the classroom kind of the ultimate issue, or do you think that people should pay more attention to what's going on outside the classroom?
Schooling is a multifaceted phenomenon which does have to take into account what goes on in the lives of all people who serve in a school, the adults and the children. Many children in this country come to school prepared, and they have pencils, they have book bags, they have paper. They've been to preschool and Head Start, but many of the children who we serve do not. So when you're talking about starting off on an equal foundation, on level, that's simply not true.
Yeah, but one of the messages, though, I got from you, there was this one scene where you're, I'm not sure, are you giving them a pep talk or a dressing down? I'm not sure you're meeting with
Which
your
one
new
is
teachers.
This?
Well, we could play a short clip where you're meeting with your new teachers.
You know that I love you and you know I'm crazy about you. But some of you are slipping, and you're slipping really bad. So here's what happened this week. On Monday, I went to 6 rooms, and kids were jumping out of their seats, they were fighting, they were throwing crayons.
So it, kind of in a way, both of you kind of give this tough love message. I mean, in a way, you are aware of all the things that the kids are dealing with. But at the same time, you don't seem to be suggesting that that's an excuse for them not to perform.
when we try to talk about excuses for the adults, I really have a problem with them offering up excuses and calling themselves educators, but you want to come to a school that's impoverished and underserved and just throw worksheets at the children. So the scene that you see, that's kind of what I was starting to see. Mm-hmm. The belief process has to be there. You have to believe. All children can learn, but they learn differently. They learn at different levels. And the procedures and policies that are in place don't really address that. So you get weak people who teach weakly and who give our children weak instructional activities, which keep them behind. Hmm. And there is no place in the educational scope and scale for that.
Carrie Priscilla, you know, as the film ends, I hate to do this to you, Todd, but I have to give away that you're being reassigned to another school, and you actually decided instead to go into training teachers and principals around the country. How has that worked out? What's that like?
In my new capacity, I get the pleasure and honor of working with schools and districts across the country and helping them to work smarter to support the needs of the students that they're lucky enough to serve. So it's been a challenge for me. It's been a wonderful opportunity. Do I miss every single day driving into the parking lot of Harvard Park Elementary School? You betcha.
Can I interject something, mm-hmm. Michelle? Yeah, I just wanted to add real quickly in regards to that issue of Carrie having to leave. That is tied to an issue that we would have liked to actually have explored a little more deeply, but it was tough. And the issue is the connection, or I should say the disconnection, between mm-hmm. central office and the principals. And both of our principals in this story went through situations where there was a disconnect and where central office clearly doesn't have a strong sense of what's going on in the trenches. And, and most of the time, it felt like there were hurdles being put in front of them.
Teresa Dunbar, at the end of the film, again, we don't want to give away the ending, but we mentioned at the beginning of the conversation that your school was in danger of being closed down because
That's
it was
right.
considered to be underperforming. How are
That's
things
right.
now?
Well, I'm very glad to report that as of this year, Nash School was the school in the area that achieved the highest gain out of 22 schools. And for the eighth straight year in a row, we have achieved distinction of being not an underperforming school, but a school that is making progress. But that's still not good enough, and we're still not close enough to come off probation. But we did finally hit the 55% mark in reading math. And so I'm so happy to be a part of that and so happy for those that I am working with that they were able to help us to that transition.
The film is The Principal's Story. It airs tomorrow night on PBS as part of the documentary series POV. You'll want to check your local listings for exact air times. We were pleased to be joined from WBEZ in Chicago by filmmaker Todd Lending, Principal Teresa Dunbar, and from WUIS in Springfield, Illinois, Carrie Purcell. Thank you all so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you as well.
Thank you.